This is the BBC. You now have a choice of listening. You can leave the radio on or go and play a nice record. But we have a question for those who stayed switched on.
Why?
You have 5 seconds to consider your answer and send it to us on a postcard. Right, no postcards have arrived, so we'll carry on.
You are now about to witness an historic event. How about that? The first time the band have got back from the pub for the start of the show. But in fact, they've cheated because we're about to celebrate the opening of a new local radio station. And tonight's local is the Dog and Muffin in Buxton, where the cast of I'm Sorry, I'll Read It Again are now ready to inaugurate the first broadcast of Radio Prune.
Radio Prune, named after the producer, because like a prune, he too is small and wrinkled and keeps us going.
And now the Postmaster General will launch the new station in traditional manner by smashing a bottle of champagne on David Hatch.
Thing to do. All that champagne leaks.
And now our own tiny transmitter, Bill Oddy, will try to make contact with Central Control at Broadcasting House.
Hello, hello. Come in, Central Control.
This is the Flying Doctor. Flying Doctor, the Wall and Wheel of Fate.
Central Control, Control, are you receiving me? Control, Control.
Hello, Harold. Harold, Tricky Dick here. Down, Spyro.
Central Control.
Hello, this is the BBC.
Sorry, caller, your time's up.
We apologize for this technical hitch. We are now rectifying the fault. But meanwhile, we will carry on with a gramophone record. A gramophone record. A gramophone record. Prune, proud to present for the 75th time the voices of Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, Bill Oddy, in yet another
I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, number 75.
We are happy to say that the trouble has now been sorted out and we can continue with the advertised program. Brought to you by Radio Prune, the station that carries on where the others wisely left off. The studio clock says it's 2:30 in the morning, and that tells us it's time we got it mended. To start the ball rolling, here's a quick jingle. Yes, tonight we've got several fascinating new features for you, but first, by way of an introduction, let's just take a quick look at some of the pioneering work that goes into the development of a brand new radio station.
The idea for Radio Prune began when the cast of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again were called into the office of the Director General of the BBC. It was his words that gave them a reason to start their own station.
You're fired.
For a time, they were frustrated in their search for premises.
All premises, premises.
The big break came when one day they were reading the advertising columns of an evening newspaper.
For sale, disused wool mill, this could be exactly the place to develop our radio station.
So they moved into the old wool mill and began work. And within a month, they'd knitted 4 tape recorders and a newsreader.
Next, they asked the GPO to install the all-important telephone. And 9 months later, it still hadn't been done. But soon, Radio Prune began to seem less of a dream and more of a nightmare. Until, in January, they stood and watched the great transmitter tower go up.
But now, Radio Prune is on the air. At last, a serious rival to Radio Wigan. Another look at the studio clock tells us it stopped altogether. But it's time for an on-the-spot newsflash, brought to you by Radio Prune, as it happens, from the London Zoo.
It has just been revealed by experts that the two giant pandas, Ann and Chi-Chi, are in fact both males. A London Zoo official comments...
Oh. And now, a brand new feature item.
We present Radio Prune Briefs, or as the producer will have it,
Knicker.
And like fascinating weekly roundup of what's on, what's up, and what's up.
Knickers!
The world of art and entertainment, starting with...
Radio Prune Top 5, number 1, Son of a Preacher Man, by David Frost. Coupled with another Frost sensation, If I Rule the World, I Wouldn't Be Surprised. Number 2, Walk Tall, by Jimmy Clitheroe.
Phil.
Sensation at the London premiere of The Piccadilly Line, the new underground movie. The audience were riveted as they watched the leading lady, Raquel Scotch, wrestle naked with 6 leather-clad he-men. The start of the film was delayed for 2 hours.
Showbiz. And 45-year-old starlet Gaga Sabor was yesterday divorced again from her 5th husband, who had previously divorced Miss Sabor's cousin in order to marry his 2nd wife, her granddaughter, and sister of Miss Sabor's 3rd child by a previous marriage, whose uncle had married her stepsister, divorcing her aunt, whose husband had secretly married the 4th husband of her nephew's grandmother. As an outcome of this, Miss Sabor is now engaged to marry herself.
Now, Radio Prune Briefs recommend. Tourists, don't miss these highlights of what's on during the coming week. Monday.
The week in Parliament opens with a debate on financial affairs. Members of the public are allowed to sit in the public gallery as long as they do not swear, shout abuse, or throw things. MPs can carry on as usual.
Wednesday, the annual Scout Gang Show opens. This year it includes girls. Next year it's hoped to get rid of the Scouts. The year after that, the whole show. Friday.
There will be a firework display at Battersea Funfair, followed by a firefighting display by the Metropolitan Fire Department.
Saturday. And on BBC TV, Match of the Day. Chelsea and Liverpool versus Kenneth Wustenham.
Sunday, student riots in Trafalgar Square. Performances at 4 and 6.30, policemen half price.
And that's it from this week's Radio Prune Brief.
Knicker. And now, but first we interrupt our programs for an urgent police message.
Help! Police!
And now, it's time for music.
It's the tip-top tune on Radio Prune.
Very nice, thank you.
That's not it. There's a lot more in me.
Oh, dear.
Oi, can I start? Thank you. Early every morning I throw my bedroom window high. Whee! And let the good clean air refresh my room. With welly boots upon my feet, I tiptoe through my garden suite. And watch the sun come peeping through the gloom.
I can't see from the light.
Oh, see the blind nocturnal mole shyly leap back in his hole. And listen to the goldfish sweetly sing. A centipede goes tripping by. And there goes a butterfly. And hark, the birds are warbling on the wing. A little flower shake, the dew drops from their hair. And new green shoots are pushing through the clay. I can hear them take a deep breath of morning air. And then I tape record each tiny word they say.
What is he, some kind of nut?
I never heard a dog rose bark. I've never seen a buckthorn buck. I've never had a squeak from a cabbage or a leek. And I've never heard a chickweed chuck. I've never heard a harebell ringing. I've never heard a bugle blow. But I'm sitting in the garden and I'm listening to the flowers grow. Oh, I'm listening to the flowers grow. I've never seen a cinquefoil sink. I've never seen a celandine. And I've never been scared by what I've heard of the roaring of a dandelion. I've never seen a speedwell speeding. And I've never known a row and row. I'm sitting in the garden and listening to the flowers grow. Oh, listen to the flowers grow. I'm milking the carnation as I watch the pansies prance. Such a sweet sensation to see the daffodils dance. I wandered lonely as a cloud. That's enough. But I'd love to hear a crocus croak. And what about a cowslip moo? Oh, white, oh, white. Mother, please ain't light. And when is a blue
velvet?
I'm sitting in a broom, for sweeping. I've never known a stitch what show. Oh, I'm sitting in the gossip garden. I'm looking at flowers grow. Oh, oh, looking at flowers grow. Oh, it's not much fun. They think of me as an enemy. Ah! I'm sitting in the gaga garden, listening to the
to Radio Proof. And we carry on now.
But first, here is another police message.
Early this morning, a North London supermarket was broken into and 10 bottles of whiskey and half a pound of ant eggs are missing. Police are looking for a very happy goldfish.
Or
300 baby ants with terrible hangovers.
And now...
Gentlemen, Radio Prune presents the Big Quiz. The quiz game with the biggest questions, the biggest prizes, and the biggest boobs of any other quiz game the civilized world has ever known. And here is your host, the one and only Huey Groan.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you. I deserved every bit. Thank you very much, and welcome to the Big Quiz. This is a really big one. Tonight, we're going to be giving away 78 Rolls Royces, 3 tons of diamonds, and the Taj Mahal. Friends, on this show, nothing is impossible except myself. And now, just to show you how big this show really is, we want you, first of all, to meet our very, very wonderful guest hostess. She really is very beautiful, and we're very, very lucky to have her here tonight, and I'm sure you're going to have a big surprise. So will you give her a big hand? Will you do that? Be paid next. No, don't encourage her. Would you mind introducing, please, the first contestant who wants to play in the Big Quiz? Would you do that?
And the first contestant is the Shah of Sirshah.
Good evening. My goodness, hello, Huey, old goblin.
Good evening, Shah. Are you ready for your first question?
I am indeed. God bless
you. Good, good. Now, thank you very much. Don't overdo it. Now, here it is. Listen now. What is the distance from here to Peking and back to the nearest millimeter? But, yes, I know that's a tough one, and there is only one way to find out. So here's the tape measure, and off you go. And we'll be keeping the spot for you on the Big Quiz on the show, 17th of February, 1972.
But,
there we go. Sharp pleasure, your friends. Hope you make it. Give him a big hand. Thank you, Sharp. Now, can we have... Thank you. And can we have the second contestant, please?
This is someone whom we are honored to call a personal friend.
And believe me, friends, they don't come any bigger than this one.
Good evening, welcome.
Isn't he wonderful, David Frost, in case you didn't get the book?
Aren't I wonderful?
Yes, you certainly are, David. Wonderful to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Not at all, not at all. Sorry you didn't get any further, an opportunity knocks. But it's nice to see you again.
Thank you.
And friends, I know you're going to be absolutely thrilled to know that he's going to compete in our life or death spot. Life or death spot. That's something really new. If the contestant answers his question correctly, he will become emperor of the world. Isn't that wonderful? And he's going to hear this. Thank you. But if he gets it wrong, then he'll hear quite simply this. Makes it very exciting for the people at home, and we hope Davy gets his question wrong. And now, friends, we're going to do something absolutely marvelous. We're going to welcome back the very first contestant who was on my very first show 40 years ago. Isn't that wonderful? Of course it is, even if you don't think so. He was a 16-year-old boy then, and he's been in the soundproof booth ever since. And now, tonight, we're going to let him out of 40 years. Now, here he comes. Can we have your answer, please? And remember the question. You do remember the question, do you?
Yes, Mark. Huey. Yes, I do.
Well, you've had 40 years to think about it. Now, will you tell us all, tell the ladies and gentlemen home, what is your answer? Now, just take your time. I want a couple of years to think about it. That's all right. What is your answer?
It's Napoleon III here.
I'm sorry. That is the wrong answer. What bad luck. 40 years wasted. Never mind. You do get a consolation prize of a stewed prune. So that's it from the Big Quiz for this week. Goodbye from me and from my guest hostess.
Thank you, subject.
Thank you very much, Haley. And next week, we'll be back with a yes-no interlude with General de Gaulle. I don't think much of his chances, but we'll see you then. Thank you very much.
And now.
What's going on? It's the band. They've run out of juice. Oh, we only filled them up this morning.
I know. They only do 12 choruses to the pint.
Well, it's just as well we stopped outside a pub, isn't it?
There you are, 15 gallons.
Good. Now let's start them up again.
Magic web of fantasy we weave. But now it's time for the next enthralling episode of Professor Prune and the Electric Time Trousers. The story so far. Professor Prune and his pals have landed in Victorian England, where his electric trousers cause a sensation. Quite a pleasant sensation, actually. However, the Victorians decide to abandon work on the horseless hovercraft in favor of the time trousers. Unfortunately, the scheme cost the government £300 million, and Professor Prune and co. are arrested and charged with high treason. Now, if you dare, listen on with...
The time trousers.
Hello, hello, hello. Now then, I must ask you to come along with me. You're under arrest.
Oh, take your hands off me, sir. Who do you think you are in that stupid blue uniform?
I am one of the new police force, sir, invented by Sir Robert Peel. They call us Peelers.
And why do they call you Peelers?
Watch this.
All right, Constable, you've made your point. You can put that orange away now.
Now then, sir, I must ask you to come quietly. Please come.
And so the Professor, Trixie and Percy were taken to Newgate Prison to await trial, whilst outside the gay tapestry of Victorian life unfolded. Yes, Victorian England. Days of the Empire, tea on the veranda, tennis on the lawn, tennis on the poet, and I'm on the bottle again. In the music hall, crowds flocked to see the great comedian Macaulay.
Don't be silly, Macaulay was an essayist.
Exactly. And that was his catchphrase.
Yes, the
19th century. The days of W.G. Grace, H.G. Wells, G.B. Shaw. Names that together spell, with Grace Higwell Gibshaw. And in the world... science, Stevenson's rocket made its first journey, but unfortunately never got off the ground. Whilst at the Royal Society, Charles Darwin made the famous speech in which he finally proved that man is descended from the apes. And on the continent, a little-known Viennese doctor was changing the whole concept of man's psychology.
Sir, I maintain that it is good that we free ourselves from these repressions. That we liberate our psyches by indulging with perfectly normal and healthy appetites. So take them up, baby.
And all this time in Newgate Prison...
Oh! Oh! 6 long months we've been here now.
Explained the professor.
And...
He continued.
Still no sign of relief, he finished.
Say, don't give up, Croft. Look, there's somebody coming. Oh, it's a woman by the look of things.
What things? Don't answer that!
Good day. I am a well-known prison visitor.
It's not often we see a fine lady in here. And a lovely creature, too.
Yes, this lovely creature is my butler, Sponge.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
Who are you, madam?
My name is Dame Bones.
Dame Bones?
Dame Bones.
Dame God, oh, hear the word of the Lord.
I spend my time in these good works.
How philanthropic.
Not a bit. It's £5 a visit.
Yeah? I see. And where's the cat?
At the back of my dress. Just one moment. You are no... ruffian.
Madam, I am awaiting trial for high treason.
In prison without a trial? We must expose this scandal.
Did he on, darling?
We will tell your story to a reputable newspaper reporter.
Yes. Excuse me.
The very man. Charles Dickens.
How do you do? I write for the Daily Telegrope.
Is it really called the Telegrope?
Not really, but it's so full of misprints, no one's quite sure how to think. In fact, I've been with the Telegrope so long, I even speak in misprints. Now, I believe you have a story to tell.
To tell, yes.
Then, sir, tell me, what has happened? For I have Lovell to attack social problems of this kink.
Of this kind, yes. The professor is the victim of wrongful arrest.
Wrongful arrest?
Yes.
This is hot stuff. Just what I've been looking for. Now, now I can get down to work with a nude vicar.
A nude vicar?
Sorry, I meant renewed vigor.
And sure enough, next morning, the professor's story was in the paper.
Yes, Prof, listen to this. Professor Pruneau in jail without a trial. Great Britishian must brush today at the fellow mookery of our judicial cod.
Excellent. Now, all you need is a good lawyer, and I have brought you the best I could find in London for five bob.
How do you do, Professor? My name is Marching Up from the well-known firm of solicitors of Boots, Boots, Boots. Boots marching up and down again. Yes, I have brought with me a colleague who will represent you at the trial.
Good day, sir. I'm Mr. Savage. Push, twist, slash, whip, savage, torture, and kick.
Is that the name of your firm?
No, just a list of my hobbies. Believe me, sir, I may not look much now, but you should see me at work in my wig and gown.
Oh, you're a barrister.
No, female impersonator.
Now, Professor, may we have your particulars?
Yeah, I'm afraid they're still at the laundry.
Oh, of course, yes. You see, it all began...
And so, on the day fixed for the trial, the Professor and his lawyers arrived at the court.
Be silent for the case of Prune against Regina. To be decided by two pinfalls to submissions or not.
Who's that?
That's the clerk of the court.
And who's that very old man sitting beside him?
That's the grandfather clerk.
I see. And who's the judge?
His name is Ongat Twilight.
Not the notorious Justice Ongat Twilight.
Yes.
Whispering.
Well, you don't expect me to say this out loud, do you?
My lord! Oh! Hey! And you know again. Yes. The outstanding court! For the case of the century! Prune against Regina! See the judge in his ermine robe performing stunning feats of jury trim. See the dashing barristers attempting death-defying talks with prisons and cross-examinations in mid-air. See the prisoner at the parallel bar. See the excited titter run round the courtroom. Roll up, roll up, all the fun of the bad
life. Clerk of the court, I'm a circuit judge, not a circus judge.
It's the red nose and the revolving trousers.
Can't a man have his little hobby? Now, let the trial commence. Who's going to begin?
Oh, me, sir.
All right, Mr. Savage. You may open the defense. Call the first witness.
I call Professor Prune.
The professor had told his story and the next witness was called.
My next witness is Miss Mia Nutter.
Call Mia Nutter!
Order Nutter.
And so it went on. On and on and on. Then,
call Oscar Weir.
Oscar!
Yes?
You're weird!
Mr. Weird, you're a voluptuary of no fixed preference.
I am.
You are also the wittiest man in London.
I am.
Answer yes or no.
Yes or no.
Thank you. You are obviously not the wittiest man in London. Now, perhaps you will tell the court, Mr. Weird, what you were doing on the night in question.
I was doing nothing. Sir Arthur and I are just good friends.
Mr. Weird, I put it to you that you were an evil man, a corrupting influence on society.
Only that which is good is corruptible. Nothing today is quite good enough to corrupt. I hope you're taking notes.
Your works are depraved.
Depravity is the mother of invention. I'll write it down.
Bring in Exhibit A.
Bring in Exhibit A.
Think very carefully, Mr. Weird. Have you ever seen this object before?
Not only have I never seen it before, seldom have I seen so shapeless an object of such unsurpassing ugliness. Your Majesty.
Yes, Mr. Weird. Exhibit A is indeed Queen Victoria.
And don't forget my little Prince Albert. Say hello to them, Albert.
Hello, everybody.
Well done.
Fred and Cotton, Albert. I will not tolerate this disturbance in me court. Anyway, what's this lady ventriloquist doing here?
This case is thrown against Regina. That's me. I mean us. There. We decided to pop in, we did, and see how it was going. Are we winning?
No, Your Majesty.
Then sit down and let my barrister have a go.
Who is the counsel for the prosecution? Who is it?
I have that honor. We meet again, Professor.
I don't believe it.
Fetish. Will the professor's arch enemy outwit him at last? Will the professor escape by sliding down the barrister? Judge for yourselves in the next action-packed episode of our courtroom drama. Oh, not again. Well, while we're filling them up again, I might as well take this opportunity to read you the credits. Or debits, if you prefer. VCs, voice credits, Simbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Candle, and Bilotti. DSOs, dialogue script originators, Bilotti and Graham Garden. The OM, ode to music, Bilotti, with musical bars, Leon Cohen and Dave Lee and the boys. PCs, production counsellors, David Hatch and Peter Titheridge. And finally, a word from the first holder of the DFC, the Distinguished Ferret Cross, John Cleese.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, Mama, again.
My name is James Jones, and I would like to thank you.